That is the music of Haddon Sayers. He's going to be at the Fat Fish Pub Monday night here in Galesburg, Texas. I'm just going to say musician at this point. We're going to talk about all the kind of different genres that that he falls within. And he joins us here this morning. Haddon, good morning. How are you today?
Doing well. How about yourself?
Great. Well, thanks for coming on with us this morning, taking some time with us. You know, it's interesting in talking to different guys that especially they come in and out of Fat Fish. A lot of them blues related, and obviously you would fit in that genre. But, you know, I know on your website it says Americana and blues. A lot of guys call you a blues rock artist. Is there anything, I mean, do you just prefer, hey, I'm a musician, or is there any particular genre that you think you kind of, yeah, I fit in that too?
You know, I've always felt like I've got a love of blues, but certainly not. I don't stop there. I do whatever it is that strikes my fancy, basically. But there's always a blues edge. So when people consider me a blues artist, I consider myself that as well. I'm just a modern day middle-aged white guy blues artist.
Well, and some people say, you know, they throw you in that blue-eyed soul category as well. And some of your songs, you can hear that come out as well.
Definitely, my love for blues and for soul music runs deep, and it runs throughout all of my music.
You know, it's interesting. You're a Texas native, and there's a lot of great music that's come out of there. There's a quote from Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top says, "Haddon is pretty much my hero." The Austin Chronicle, Houston's best all around rock guitarist. On top of that, it's interesting in listening to some of your different songs. Unsatisfied is a prime example. I can kind of hear that ZZ Top influence there. Is there, you know, people talk about there's Mississippi blues, there's Chicago blues. Texas blues, what kind of describe the Texas blues scene and what that music is about?
Well, it always hinges a lot on Louisiana. There's an undercurrent of Louisiana music, because there's a passage from, you know, I-10 runs through Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Lafayette, Louisiana, Lake Charles, and then it comes right on into Houston. And so there's this constant flow of these country blues artists that came out of Louisiana and came into Texas, and I'm speaking very specifically about the Houston blues scene, that Gulf Coast scene. So there's all that kind of swamp rock that came out of Louisiana and blended together, and I think that's where my fascination with blending genres came from, is because that's how we view this music, is it just gets blended together. And if you want to call it blues because you heard a B.B. King lick in the middle of Unsatisfied, that's fine with us.
Absolutely. Haddon Sayers, he'll be in with us. He'll be in Galesburg on Monday night at the Fat Fish Pub, and you can catch him there. Tickets available. Albert Castillo there as well. So talk about some of the other influences, because obviously, you know, ZZ Top, Texas band, and a lot of blues bass as well. A guy like Stevie Ray Vaughan. Is there other influences you take from the state of Texas itself?
Yeah, definitely. Clarence Gatemouth Brown would be a huge one for me. And when I was in college, Gate was pretty old, but he was still doing the club circuit. And I went to school at Texas A&M. So it was like, right, you know, if you threw a dart between Dallas, Austin, and Houston, that's about where Texas A&M is. So all these blues artists that were doing road gigs would end up invariably coming through that town. I got to see a lot of great blues. I got to see Bobby Blue Bland in person, meet the band and hang with them when I was in college. Albert Collins, you know, and then more contemporary modern artists, Eric Johnson, the famous rock guitarist, and Joe Ely, all that Texas songwriter stuff too. So it's definitely that type of was an environment for me there. And I think really the most important thing about this particular show is that I'm going to be focusing more on my acoustic roots, because I'm opening the show solo acoustic and telling stories about my earlier days and how I evolved into the musician I am today prior to Albert's electric show, and then we'll jam at the end electric.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah, that'll be great, because, of course, we've Albert's been here before as well. We've had him on the air. We'll talk to him Monday morning, by the way. Haddon Sayers joining us. He'll be opening the show. The acoustic side of it. We'll kind of talk a little about your background growing up in Texas, and where did your love of music come from?
My dad's record collection is the short answer, and that's probably a lot of people's, you know, first introduction. And thankfully, he had, you know, an awesome palette of music and good taste in music, so I was listening to, you know, Beatles and things like that, but also early rock and roll, all the country greats like Willie Nelson, Merle Haggard, Buck Owens, those types of people. And it wasn't until I got on my own about, 8 or 9 years old, started getting my own records that I was getting, buying, Stevie Wonder and ZZ Top, things like that, and developing a taste for the rootsier stuff. And by the time I got to high school, I had fully discovered, I was entrenched in ZZ Top, but also discovered the T-Birds and Stevie, and realized by that point when I was in high school that they were doing their own modern take on their predecessors. And so then I was, by the time I got to college, I was buying, Johnny Copeland records and going to Juneteenth Blues Festival and stuff like that, so I could literally see the blues masters. Basically the same thing the Vaughn Brothers were doing. I realized that's what they were doing, and I started doing it as well.
How about the first picking up an instrument? Was it the guitar first, and at what age did you do that?
I wanted to be a member of KISS when I was about 8 years old, and so I convinced my parents to get me a guitar, but they would only get me an acoustic. So I learned how to play acoustic guitar, took a few lessons, and was kind of I called myself a campfire guitarist for many years while I was a kid and a teenager. And then when I got to be an older teenager, that's when I started focusing on what I was hearing on records and realized that I had the ability to do it. I kind of pictured, before I ever picked up a guitar when I was a little kid, I could picture the geometry of how you would play it, and I always thought that I could. And when I got one, I could.
That is such an amazing talent, and the guys that have that, because people can make themselves a decent player by just practicing and learning and taking lessons, but when you have that, whatever that knack is that's in you, and like you said, you kind of saw it in your mind before you did it, and you could just do it. That the kind of people that just amaze me, it's so fun to watch. So where had in your career then did you start writing at that point too, or was it more you're wanting to kind of cover what other people were doing and maybe your own take on it?
Yeah, I was just trying to get the blues guitar thing together, so I was playing along with records literally 12 hours a day minimum when I was between 17 and 19. And then I befriended a guy who named Drew Wilson, who's a great Austin guitarist still to this day, and befriended him, and he became kind of my idol, and whatever he told me was what I realized that I had to do. And early on he told me that I had to write songs, and that's what I focused on, and I co-wrote songs with him. I performed in a band with him, and I eventually realized that songwriting was something that I was never going to be the best blues guitar player on the planet. I'm certainly a good one, but not the best one. And but as a songwriter, I could really kind of take it a step further and be the best Haddon Sayers that I could be by really evolving with the songwriting. And so I've played songs with other artists, and Ruthie Foster is one that comes to mind that we've done some many collaborations, and we're still collaborating. She's a Grammy-nominated artist from Austin, Texas, that I am honored to play electric guitar in her big band.
Guitarist, musician, singer Haddon Sayers joining us here this morning. He'll be at Fat Fish Pub coming up on Monday night. He'll do an acoustic set and then jam with Albert Castilla later in the show, and you'll be able to check that out. So you mentioned having gone to Texas A&M. Did you go all the way through and finish your education? And was that something that your parents, did they support you musically, but hey, you need to get this education on top of it?
Yeah, it sounds like we've talked before. That's pretty much how I got a scholarship in agriculture. When I was in high school, I had Brangus show heifers. So I spent a lot of time around county fairs showing my animals, and got a scholarship to go to Texas A&M. And so I did that for the first, it was like a 2-year scholarship. And at the end of 2 years, I had to be an agriculture major up to that point, and then I switched to journalism and got my degree in agricultural journalism, and I have written about cattle, but it was right when I graduated from college. And since then, I knew when I graduated that I was going to go straight to Austin and try to be in a band, and I followed through with that, and I was in a band on tour within 3 months of graduation.
Wow. You said you're the guy I went to high school with, sounds like. See, my parents were teachers, so I didn't have the farm background, but everybody else, yeah, with the when it came to county fair time. In fact, you know, our state fair is going on here this week, started last week and this week, and one of the fairly local kids just won with a grand champion steer the other day.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, so.
That's huge.
Yep, absolutely. Haddon Sayers joining us. I think you chose the right direction to go, and we're glad you did, and we'll get to see you coming up on Monday night at Fat Fish Pub. Talk about maybe outside of Texas, what were some of your other influences? You said, you know, listen to your dad's records, whether it was the Beatles and up through. What were some of your other influences for maybe a particular style of music?
I'd say it's country. I tell a story in my show about it's my opinion that if you can reduce any song, whether it's a pop song that Taylor Swift wrote or any song, if you can reduce it to a classic country song and it stands up, then you know it's a good song without a doubt. And I give an example. You talked about Unsatisfied, which is on my new record, Dopamine Machine. I give the example of that song because when it first popped into my head, it was more like a Hank Williams Sr., you know, Unsatisfied when I try to hold you. It was that kind of a song.
Mm-hmm.
And I switched gears on that and turned it into the, you know, the blues rock song that I thought it should be. But songs enter my head in that way, and I think it's because of that deep reverence that I have for, you know, the masters of country music.
So in your process of writing now, is that something that crosses your mind as you're doing that? Are you thinking classic country initially, and then you work it out from there and the arrangement and everything, or is it just, you know, a lyric comes to you or music comes to you?
Yeah, usually it's like a lyric or music or a rhythmic pattern that the lyric falls into, and I start writing the song based around that. And then it's more of an observation that I'm like, hey, this kind of sounds like a country song, or this sounds like that you know, Howlin' Wolf tune, whatever, you know, whatever song it is. It'll come to my mind and it'll dawn on me that it kind of is following that form, whatever form that is. Because there's, you know, there's some basic forms to songwriting, and oftentimes I will, I'll jump onto a form initially, and then I'll try to figure out what's going to make it unique, what's going to make it different than just every other song that's been written that's a copy of that Howlin' Wolf song. And maybe that means it gets a bridge like a Beatles song would have, or maybe it means that, you know, there's no instrumentation or there's no electric guitar on that particular song, whatever, that something has to change for me to make it unique in some way. And there's probably a couple of, you know, there's not an infinite number of ways that I would change things. Whatever it is, my personality comes out at that point.
Haddon Sayers will be at Fat Fish Pub on Monday night. Talk about the new album, Dopamine Machine. Number one, the name, is it because it's going to make you feel good? Is that the, you know, the impetus behind the name?
The name, I was writing a song that was going to be called, Telephone Telephone. And, I was going to write this blues song, and the first line was going to go, telephone, telephone, dopamine machine. And I got to that dopamine machine, and I started thinking, you know, that sounds like the title of an album, and it sounds like there should be a title track to that album. You know, I kind of, again, like stepping back and making an observation about what I had just done. And then at that point, I kind of dropped that telephone, telephone song, which me was going to be a rudimentary slow blues, and started thinking about this dopamine machine and what it would mean and how it would work out. So it was really me thinking about my, you know, my significant other, a woman in general, being the dopamine machine. And then instead of my telephone, because the telephone, telephone song was going to be about my addiction to my iPhone. But the dopamine machine kind of turned into, it can be anything. It can be anything that's your dopamine machine, and that's kind of what the song is about. I just felt like it rolled off the tongue and looked good on the front of an album and all those things.
That is so interesting. And you mentioned, yeah, just about anything can be your dopamine machine. Like, you know, right now people with an addiction to, like you said, whether it's their iPhone or social media, or, you know, for some people it's exercise, running or whatever. So that's really interesting that it can be, just about anything can be a dopamine machine.
Exactly. And that was really the point. And then the dopamine machine just sounds cool. That's, you know, when you go, I don't know if people know this about the way they write songs in Nashville, there's a lot of partner writing there. And when you show up in a room with somebody that you don't know that writes songs, oftentimes what happens is you look at down a list of titles that each of you have, you've already come up with these titles, you just don't have the songs yet. And so you go down, and I never knew that, being a kid in Texas writing songs. I just wrote them and didn't think about the process. But what you do is you bounce back and forth titles until you agree that one is a cool title, and then you start going from there. And once I had that experience of writing songs in that Nashville way, I don't typically do team-written songs like that anymore. I write by myself mainly. But I do approach the song from the title first. Oftentimes now I come up with a title, and it may not be that moment that I come up with the song, but I do have a list of titles that could be songs. And Dopamine Machine was certainly way up there on the list, alongside Blood Red Coupe de Ville, which was also on that album.
That's an interesting process. I always love to talk about the process of people writing songs, because there's so many different ways that people do it. Sometimes it's, like you said, it's a lyric. For some people, it's always a lyric. Or for some people, it's always that note or that music or that riff or something. But for you, it sounds like it's a combination of things.
It definitely is. And I think that this particular show that I'm doing with Albert, where I'm doing the solo acoustic slot, I do focus much more on the nuts and bolts of how I write songs. I play plenty of guitar as well, but I focus on how I write the song and a little story before I play the song. And then, the singing and playing, because it's just essentially me, my voice and acoustic guitar, that becomes the focus. And it can be, it's a really exciting thing for me, because for, 25 years I did trio electric or quartet electric blues rock. And so to go out and be comfortable doing solo acoustic is a completely different animal, but it's something that's driven by the songs.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing it. Again, Monday night, Fat Fish Pub here in Galesburg. Haddon Sears is going to be there, Albert Castillo as well, and then the two together on stage. Dopamine Machine, your website, haddonsears.com. Where else is the album available?
Everywhere. Spotify, Apple Music, anywhere you want to grab it.
All right. And you got lots of music on your website. So go check out Haddon Sears, and of course, check him out live coming up on Monday night at the Fat Fish Pub. Haddon, thanks so much for taking some time with us this morning. Really appreciate it, and looking forward to the show Monday night.
Appreciate it. Looking forward to meeting you in person.